You're listening to Ken. Doesn't matter how long you've been doing this, you still make mistakes. But you're listening to KHENLP 106.9 Salida. And my co-host this evening is Katie O'Brien. And since this is Truth Quest with Melody, we're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And our special guest is Tony Pantoloresco. We're having him back, and he's a guy that just knows a lot of stuff, and that's the easiest bio there is to try to go over.
See, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes, it makes it real easy. And it's a lot of good stuff, though. You know a lot of good stuff, so.
I try.
And I also want to say that khen.dj@gmail.com is the email address if you have any questions for the program. And the programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And Tony, tell us what you're up to these days.
Oh, about 5'10" and as much trouble as I can get into. What do you think?
And Katie?
I just got done doing a couple workshop seminars in Calgary, Alberta. It was a good turnout. Basically, it was one of these, you know, it was like a house gathering kind of thing. Sort of like what the early evangelicals used to do to promote, you know, Christianity. We basically did the same thing, except we were doing it with health. Basically, it was a lot of question and answers, actual display on what was going on. The first workshop I did, I showed the guy how to make the Lugol's iodine, and then I showed him how to make it clear. And so he tried it and brought it back because I couldn't get it to work. I said, what'd you do? He says, well, I added the vitamin C like I told you, but then he had a big, huge container. I said, well, you didn't put enough in. So I just started pouring about a quarter of a cup, half a cup in, boom. It went from green to clear. And so anyway, so that's how you do it. He says, yeah, you were on the right path. You just didn't get enough in there. And this is good because, you know, people are now exploring this, and they are trying this, and they're doing it. You know, and they might make mistakes, and again, if anybody's watching my videos and they're trying to do the things I'm showing you, I mean, I'm trying to make it as clear as possible, but, you know, sometimes you may not be putting enough in or not, or too much, whatever. The whole idea is to play with it, get familiar with it, so that you become an expert, and then if you find a better way to doing it, by all means do so, and then share that information.
Okay, now, Tony, tell us your radio program that you do and where you're located and how to find you on YouTube. But let me also say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and or my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. So go ahead. And Katie, say hi.
Hi.
Okay. You want to let everybody know that you're there.
Thanks.
Okay, my radio show is every Monday and Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm not sure you guys are in Mountain Time there? Or?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure what that is. I think you're 2 hours behind?
Yes.
So it would be 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's an online stream. So it's www.themicroeffect.com. The show is called The Remedy. It's a live show. We have a chat room there. You're more than welcome to go into the chat room under whatever guise or name you want to give yourself. If you have any health questions, it's dealt with there. If I see it, because the chat room scrolls, all of a sudden we've been getting a lot more people coming into the chat room, which has been a good positive sign. So sometimes I may miss your question, and if I do, just retype it in. I'll get it sooner or later. And I try to give you some ideas or some venue for you to explore that may come up with a remedy that may work for you.
And
the YouTube is www.youtube.com. Then in the search, just type in Herbs Plus Beadworks. We've got 73 videos on there, and we also have favorites. I've got favorites that I picked out that I thought were really good that people should know how, should have this information. They can also make whatever they want to make. Like, for instance, in the United States, it's very hard to get iodine crystals. Well, in one of my favorites, they show you how to make it by using peroxide and sulfuric acid, I believe, and water. So if you can't get the iodide crystals, you can get the potassium iodide and make it yourself. So in Canada, it's a little different. We can get access to these things. But for me to ship stuff from, like, iodide to the U.S., it is so costly, so it's not worth to do. But you can make it, or you can make the super saturated iodine solution. I show you how to make that there as well on the YouTube.
So you are in Canada. You're not, because I know the town that you're at is kind of like a border town, correct?
Right. I'm in Windsor. I'm in Windsor, Ontario. We do get stuff. We do ship stuff over, and we do get it over to people in the U.S., but like I said, because my cost for the iodide crystals here, if I had to resell it, it would be just too much.
Uh-huh.
There is a link. I did find Alibaba.com, and you can look at iodide crystal there. I haven't explored it to buy from them. You may be able to pick it up there and you have it shipped in. So this is part of this. This is the second part of making your Lugols. You need the potassium iodide and the iodide crystal.
Okay, but let me also, before we get too far into the what you do and how to help people on making vitamins and or coming up with other remedies for them to deal with their own health issues. You also, by the way, you're aware that MicroEffect does replay your program late at night too.
Yeah, it does. What is it? I was looking at it the other day. Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays, they do reruns on the show. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
That's how I heard you. I caught you late at night, and that was how that was how I first got a hold of you. So
usually late at night, I'm up and doing research and getting things ready, and people contact me, and I do consults and whatnot, or I'm preparing remedies or whatever I'm doing. I'm sort of one of these mad scientist types. You know, I'm in my little cave, got my white coat, and my bug-eyed head out there looking at things. Oh, look at this. That's how you do get into some of this stuff. I mean, you know, you'll read books, right? All of us have read books. We've all read books in herbs. We've all read books in vitamins. We've all read books in orthomolecular stuff. We've all read books in essential oils. And basically, everybody's got an opinion or an assessment on how things work. But what a lot of these books don't tell you is how to make it work, how to put it together. Okay, the one thing I always go to or refer to is Fo Ti. It's a Chinese herb, Fo Tiang, or Ho Shuwu, as it's sometimes called in the U.S. And Canada. It's if you take it, it'll reverse the color of your hair from, you know, gray to your original color. Well, I don't know how many people have read that and say, oh, great, and they go buy the herb, and they make the tea, and they're drinking it 99 times a day, and nothing's happening. And I've had that experience. So, and then I figured out how to make it work. You have to add two other things with it in order for it to work properly. But nobody tells you this.
Ah.
Nobody tells you this. So,
so how do you make it work?
You add two other herbs. One is nettle, and another one is another Asian herb called melidia. And when you put them together and you boil them up and you drink it, my experience was when I started drinking it, I mean, I just discovered it purely by accident. I was just playing around, and I'm always rotating my teas, and I'm always adding different herbs, and every 3 or 4 days I'm always changing up my combinations. So that's how I discovered a tea for hot flashes. I had a young woman here working in the store. She was having hot flashes. I was making a tea for my own endocrine system. I gave it to her, and it stopped the hot flash almost immediately. She couldn't believe how fast it worked. So I was looking at all the ingredients, and I realized what was going on, and so I actually called it Lynn's formula, because it works. It, for most of the women that use it, they keep coming, they'll come back, and they swear by it. But with the hair, was Fo Ti, nettle, and the melidia. And once you boiled it, what I found, when I used it, the outer rim of my hair went back to being auburn or red. Even my mustache, the tips of my mustache where they used to be auburn, went back to being auburn again. And if I had kept drinking it, my hair would have went completely back to being the reddish brown or oak brown or whatever you want to call it that once was. So I had people actually ask me if I actually dyed my hair because of the way it started going back.
How long did it take to see results?
About 3 days.
Really? That quick?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember something, okay? Everybody's different. I don't eat a lot of junk. So when I take something, my system is going to be more receptive to it because there's nothing there for the block. In other words, I'm not eating McDonald's, I'm not eating, you know, junk foods, I'm not eating cookies or any of this other crap. So, you know, I do have my weaknesses. You know, you give me a fruit pie, let's say a blueberry or raspberry pie, I will eat it, you know. You give me a marzipan bar, you know, I will maybe once in a blue moon eat it. I mean, because I have to really refrain from marzipan because that's a definite weakness for me. But generally speaking, you know, because of my way of life and the way I've been doing this for so long, when I took this stuff, it reacted really well with me and quickly. Now, everybody's different. Some people may take 2 weeks. Some people may take 2 days. Some people may start seeing a change even overnight. It all depends. Some may take maybe 6 months because it all depends how toxic your colon is.
I've never
got an ongoing condition right now. If you have a weak glands,
and they can find this recipe out at your website or on YouTube.
Neither. Nobody's ever asked me for it, so I never.
You know. and I've never even heard of the herb, so I wouldn't even know where to find it.
Oh, if you go to any, I'm sure you've got some Chinese markets there. A lot of times they sell it in the Chinese market, in the Chinese grocery store. You can buy a lot of this stuff there because it's used in their food.
How do you spell it?
Fo Tiang.
No, not the. Well, yeah, go ahead and do that one too.
All right. F-O space T-I space E-N-G. Okay, Fo Tiang. The next one is nettle. You can get that at any health food store. Or if you go out in the field, if you've got a field around you, just go pick up some nettle, stinging nettle. And then this other herb called melidia. Now, that's a tough one to find.
That's the one
Chinese
I'm talking
market.
About, yeah.
So,
how do you spell that one?
M-E-L-I-T-A-E.
Thank you.
Okay. If you can't find it, let me know, because I have an Asian family here that has a herb shop in Windsor, and we're good friends, and I'm always going over there and telling them stuff I'm doing, you know, and they get all excited. Says, "Well, what about this?" And I tell them, "Well, you know," and I show them what the Chinese herbs. Well, take a little bit of that, a little bit of that, put it together, and boom, watch what happens. And then if I'm having a problem with something, they say, "What are you? This one for kidneys and what else?" And they tell me, and, "Oh, yeah, great." You know, so then we have this exchange going on, and it's an awesome exchange. So,
way to go. What about your DVD or CD? Is it DVD, CD, whatever?
Well, we've got two DVDs. And basically what they are is they've got my first book I put on there. I'm just a guy who knows some stuff, which is basically starts you off as a more rudimentary to an intermediate level, so you get an idea of how you can go about getting food and turning foods into something medicinal. For instance, simple, potent, and inexpensive, antioxidant, immune booster, heart remedy, blood clot remover is wine and garlic. People will never would think about taking, you know, half a cup to a cup of wine and a clove of a bulb of garlic, blending that and straining it and using a teaspoon of that. It's a very cheap but extremely potent remedy.
Uh-huh.
So I showed, in my first book, I explained this about probiotics and fermented foods and the need to be consuming fermented foods. There's a big kick these days about eating live foods. You know, and I try to point out to people, when we're talking live foods, we're talking enzyme-active foods. Now, some people ask me, what about meat? I tell them, me, personally, I'm cooking my meat. Now, you have whatever pros and cons on this, but my perspective is this. Unless I have raised that animal myself and given it food from, you know, what I've given it, I don't know what parasites are in that animal. And every culture that I know, whether they be Mediterranean, Asian, Middle Eastern, European, South American, cook their meat. The Middle East will eat raw meat. The Japanese will eat raw fish. But they will treat that fish and that meat with all kinds of herbs and to neutralize any potential parasite or whatever. Doesn't mean it always works. And even cooking it doesn't always mean it works either. But you got a higher chance of neutralizing a parasite or a protozoan infection that you may not want to have. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything living inside of me feeding off of me. I just have a funny attitude about that.
Yeah, but doesn't that kind of fly in the face of what a probiotic does?
Well, probiotic is a different animal altogether. It is a bacterial culture, but it's a bacterial culture that our system has. It's there already, and it's not going to create a parasitical situation. Okay, you go eat raw meat. You don't know what worm you're going to get in you. You don't know what protozoan you're going to get into you. You don't know what parasite you're going to get into you. Okay? You go fishing. You go fishing in a lake. You don't know what's in that fish's gut. Okay? So you go eat it, and all of a sudden you've got some kind of a parasite going on in you, and you're sicker than a dog, and you don't know what to do about it. In the medical field, a lot of times, like in Canada, they don't believe in the Lyme disease. They don't believe in tick infestation in people here. So if you got doctors who are blind like this or don't believe in the parasite infections in human beings, you're going to be SOL.
Well, you know, now that you bring up the Lyme disease, I was hearing that there's almost like 98 to 100% people running around with it.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't take much.
But there's over
300 species of tick in the world. Canada alone has over 100 different species. I got bit by a bloody tick last year. And I'll tell you, it's been a lot of fun. You have no idea how much fun this has been. But in the process of getting bit by this bloody thing, I have found some solutions that have helped tremendously. So, and I've been sharing them on the YouTubes, or I've been talking about them on the show. Just came up with an oil treatment that if you've got a tick or a scabies or even potentially more gallons, if you use this oil treatment, you may see these things really come out quick. They literally almost jump out of your skin. And what you're using is peanut oil, salt, pine, or essential oil of pine, and alcohol. And what you're doing is you're taking probably about 2 to 3 ounces of peanut oil, tablespoon of salt, an ounce of alcohol, rubbing alcohol, 70%. If you want to use vodka or Everclear or whatever you like. And the essential oil of pine and camphor. Forgot camphor as well. You're just putting about 5 to 10 drops of each in the mixture and then shaking it up, percussing it about 100 times. And then proceed to rub that on the skin, and especially in the areas that are infected. You will be surprised
what
will come out.
Because that's one of the things that... I mean, this Lyme disease, when I was looking up the symptoms of it, if I had it, I didn't recognize any of the symptoms. Are there a lot more symptoms they're not telling us about?
Well, some of the symptoms you're going to find is aches and pains, you know, in, like your big joints. If you've got a tick, you'll know it because they'll be feeding on the collagen and they will scar you. Scabies will do the same thing. You will get scars as they come out. Your immune system will get on top of it. And the one thing you really do have to avoid is breads and grains because that sugar is also going to help break down your immune system. You constantly have to keep using gelatin or collagen to regenerate the damage that they do. I've actually found by even using an aloe vera iodine mix that I made to apply to the skin really helps heal a lot of the damage that they do to you. Apparently, they've got the digestive juices to break down your proteins, and they do a good job, I'll tell you. Now, with the more gallons, again, if it's a metal contaminant like barium or silica or other metals, that solution will also help in removing that out. Now, the other thing you want to use as well, because you will have infection going on in the tissues. And the one thing that will target deep tissue infection more than almost anything on the market today is DMSO.
Now, that's interesting that you say that. Now, before you get any further, explain what Morgellons is.
Morgellons, well, there's two theories of thought on it, and I'm more inclined to believe it's the second one rather than the first. One is it's a... As a result of the chemtrails that are falling up down on people, it's penetrating the epidermis or the skin, and there are these silica-like life forms that enter the skin and then they protrude through the skin like these with fine wires or whatever, or they move through the skin, and as they move, they break down the iron and copper in your body. The other thought theory is it's the genetically modified corn. And again, something in the GMO, and I'm more inclined to think along those lines because when you're eating anything genetically modified, First, the genetic code of whatever you've eaten has been changed and altered. And after you eat it, it starts changing and altering you. And if the plant has produced a super bug of sorts, because the bugs will eventually, you know, develop a resistance to whatever we're eating, gets inside of you, then you've got another problem. You've been infected. Now, we were talking earlier today with a friend of mine, and we were talking about inoculations. And I said, this is not inoculation. This is a reinfecting of the human race. Every year, every other year, we've got a new flu, a new virus, a new pathogen in the air that we have to be infected with. You know, we have to go down there and get that new infection pumped into us. Because that's what injections are. They're a form of infecting the human body. Now, when we're consuming stuff that has been genetically altered, it is also infecting us and breaking us down internally with our organs and our digestive system, our immune system, our endocrine system. It's by design set to shorten our lifespan. And again, when we're combining all these, you know, shots and different things, this is a form of infection, something that penetrates the immune system and causes a breakdown in the body. That's an infection, and that's what inoculations do. The Hessian fly, it has the same digestive system and the same intestinal design as the human body. It eats a grain of the genetically modified wheat, and it literally causes the stomach to shred to pieces. Now, I have a lot of people that come in here and they're using Nexium, some aluminum-based anti-acid. All right? And what's going on is the same exact thing. You're eating a genetically modified piece of wheat or corn or whatever it is you're eating. It's going into your system. It's triggering a new dynamic or a new effect, and it starts breaking down your system. All of a sudden, people have got pylori up the wazoo. They can't figure out why they've got it, you know. And then we give them remedies to clear it up, and then we have to tell them, you've got to leave bread alone. No bread. I don't care what bread it is. If it's wheat, barley, rye, whatever. A lot of these things are mixed with the wheat gluten and corn maybe and some other things that have been genetically modified. Some even have soy. Some people eat this Ezekiel bread, and I keep telling them it's no good because it's got soy in it. And when I tell people this, they're shocked. What? It's got soy? It says, yes, it's got soy in it. This is not the original formula. I'm sorry. Look at the biblical reference to this. It had no soy in it.
Yeah, I don't recall them working with soy back then.
Say again? I'm sorry?
I said I don't recall them working with soy back then.
You know, if they did, it ain't there. You know, we're always referring to the Mediterranean diet. You know, the Mediterranean diet is the best diet in the world, and I'm Mediterranean. I keep telling everybody it's not necessarily the best diet. It's a good one. You know, if you look at the Asian diet, barring the soy, you look at the East Indian diet, you know, when they do mix it up with their poultry and lamb and fish, they're pretty well similar. They're all using antioxidants in their particular respective areas. They're all using clean meats like lamb, fish, poultry, goat, you know, things like this, yak, whatever. They're eating fermented foods. It's where you get into some of the things that, you know, we've done here by saying we're promoting soy. And soy is a wonderful thing, and it's a fermented food. And I always tell people, yes, it's a fermented food, but when the Chinese fermented it, they fermented it in lime, not aluminum. So there's a difference right off the word get-go. Okay, we're actually neutralizing it with calcium, and the other one's neutralizing it with aluminum. And now you're absorbing the aluminum. So people think, well, the Japanese, you know, they eat it all the time. The Japanese are dying of cancer more than anybody else, them and the Koreans. Okay? And it's all tied to the soy, followed by Americans and Canadians, because we have decided we're going to eat this stuff like they do. And they say, well, what about the cancer? Women don't get breast cancer. They don't get breast cancer because they use iodine from seaweed. And people don't understand that iodine converts estradiol into estriol, the good estrogen. Both men and women need the estriol, not the estradiol. It's the estradiol and the estriol that causes the cancer in breasts, testicles, pancreas, prostate, the ovaries, okay? It's the estriol that binds with the estradiol and gets rid of it. So if you've been exposed or if you're producing too much estrogen and you don't have enough iodine going on in the system and selenium, you could wind up with a cancer. And women especially, their thyroid and your breast compete for iodine. So you need to take an adequate amount. Whether you're using a Lugol solution, whether you're making your own SSKI, whether you're eating 3 ounces of seaweed, you need to get iodine going in the system. And that will definitely fight off 40 different pathogens as well. So it has an immune-boosting effect.
So, but and most of us are inadequate, have an inadequate iodine, correct?
Yeah, well, that's supposed to be the number one deficient mineral in the world.
And is that by, are you of the group that's of the belief that that isn't by accident?
Oh, listen, we live in North America, okay? I honestly believe that we are a double-blind study group going on the planet. And what my opinion on this is this. The United States and Canada, you know, do things over here in North America on this side of the Atlantic. So we're conducting all kinds of human experiments on this side of the Atlantic. We're doing the same thing in Europe. We're doing the same thing in the Middle East. We're doing the same thing in Africa. We're doing the same thing in Asia, in Australia, New Zealand. This is my thinking now, my opinion. So we allow New Zealand to have foods that are uncontaminated. So we take a look at their statistics about their health and what's going on and what they're dying from. Now here in the United States, we're genetically altering our food. We're not labeling the foods that are GMOs, but we're doing that in Europe. So now we're modifying what people are eating here, not knowing what they're eating, and what people are eating in Europe, knowing what they're eating. And so then they do all these studies based on whatever, and then we get whatever they have come up with. So me, I'm one of these skeptical type. I have to have substance, you know, no BS, show me substance. You know, you say this is going on, and then I start looking at some of these research and reports, and you'd be surprised how they've come up with some of these conclusions.
Hey, before you go any further, let me just say this is Tony Pantoloresco, and he. What is the name of your business again?
I'm sorry.
What is the name of your business?
Oh, we're at Herbs Plus and Beadworks in Windsor, Ontario.
Okay, so he comes up with all kinds of great information on what's going on out there in our diet and nutrition, and that's why I asked him here again tonight. And keep going on this iodine.
Okay. When we look at iodine, every cell in our body has iodine, every cell. It's put there by divine creation. Now, if you don't believe in divine creation, whatever strokes your boat. I'm not going to get into an argument about that one tonight. But anyway, by divine creation, it's there. And it's there for a reason, you know. Now, they're saying that Michigan and southwestern Ontario are probably one of the worst places for iodine depletion. And that probably stands to reason because they did drop a nuclear bomb back in the 1960s, I believe, off the coast of Alaska as a test. And what happened was the wind was supposed to go one way and it went back completely back toward North America. And the fallout went right across Canada and into the northeastern part of the United States. So that would explain some of the problems that have gone on with thyroid issues along the northern borders of Canada and the U.S. And again, if you look at our fish here in the Great Lakes, I don't eat fish here. You know, to me, the fish here tastes dead even when it's just fresh caught. It just doesn't seem to have, you know, whatever. I've been to Europe when I was a kid, and I ate fish there, and I liked fish because fish tasted more like meat. The fish here tastes like, I can't say on the radio what I think it tastes like. It's not very good. So, you know, I don't like it.
Okay?
Well, I mean, I'll eat tuna, and I'll even buy cans of tuna here that's just salt, water, and fish, and then I cook it, you know. I'll put the essential oil lemon in it. I'll add a little tea with it. You know, whatever tea I've got in the pot, I'll throw it in there. I've got onion in it. I've got, again, the essential oil of lemon. I'll put maybe thyme, celery seed, juniper berry. You know, I powder that up, mix it in there, and then let it simmer. So if there's something in that fish that shouldn't be there, it ain't happy. You know, that's how I do things. I mean, again, you can... If you want to eat it raw, more power to you. And you can if you'd like to. I'm of the mindset I don't trust, you know, everyone looks at China. China, oh, look at all the bad food coming out of China. Oh, they've got, you know, melamine and all this stuff. I just found the report tonight I'm going to put on my webpage for Friday's show. If you, let me read some of the highlights of it. It's called Dangerous Chemicals in Our Food. See, we're worried about food poisoning and food chemicals.
Wait till they put you. I should read the list that I've got for water.
Yeah, well, there's over 70,000 contaminants in water. Between birth control, pesticides, farm waste, industrial waste, you know. I mean, you get these jokes sometimes, you know, I'm going to drink booze. You know, people are drinking, you know, giving the excuse to drink booze over water because you know what fish do in water, so they're going to drink wine. You know, I mean, this is the kind of mentality, and we're heading that toward that, too.
Right.
There's going to be a water shortage coming up. They're talking about water shortage, how Russia is going to be exporting water because it's going to be one of the few places that has water. So I would encourage everybody, if you've got any money, invest in a winery. Seriously, if there's stock in wine, you may want to buy the stock because people will be drinking, have to drink something, and wine will be the safest thing to consume.
Interesting.
Okay, think about it. You can cook with wine, you can drink with wine, you can soak meat and stuff in wine. What's it do? It kills a lot of stuff. Okay, add your iodine to your wine. There you go. You get another dynamic combination. You know, blend some garlic with the wine. Blend an onion with wine.
Now you got soup.
I'm sorry?
Now you got soup.
That's what I'm saying. But again, you know, we have to start thinking in terms of this. Okay, I am eating a food, whether it's a vegetarian type food, whether it's a meat type food, because, you know, I don't get caught up in the vegans. I think vegans are insane, in my opinion. In today's time, and if you're just a complete meat eater, I think you're insane as well. This thing is about balance. And I always tell people, if you're a vegan, you're not getting taurine in your diet, you're going to wind up with an epilepsy issue. And if you're eating soy, you're going to wind up with brain shrinkage, thyroid damage, esophageal damage. It's not worth it. So I always thought it's about balance, you know. We were talking today about beans and why beans were consumed, because beans have phytates in them, and they pull out minerals out of your body. They pull out zinc, they pull out calcium, they pull out magnesium, manganese, and a whole host of other minerals. Now, the reason why they're in the diet is because when you're eating stuff, you build up some stuff in your system. So once in a while, you need something that's going to bind with the excesses in your body to pull them out. This is why some things were always rotated in different cultures' diet. So again, it's not about being a vegan or a lacto-ovo vegetarian or a what's the other one that's all fish, pescarian or whatever they're called, you know, or a meat eater. It's about balance. And it's about environment as well. Where you live should determine how you eat as well, and lifestyle. You're living in an area like I do here. I live in a toilet bowl of North America. I live in the middle of the automotive industry. So my diet is going to reflect what I need. I'm going to need stuff to protect my skin, need stuff to protect my lungs, my kidneys, my liver, my heart. So I'm using high levels of different antioxidants. I'm using high levels of enzymes. You know, I'm using a good protein fat mix, and I'm using fruits and vegetables as my carbs for, again, more antioxidant and enzyme activity that goes on, for removing estrogens out of my system, for maintaining a healthy endocrine system, or maintain a healthy brain. So you eat based on that. If you're living in a climate where it's really hot, you're going to be eating foods that are going to produce more fluid or help you hold more fluid. You're going to eat applesauce and pear sauce because, again, it has pectin. And pectin holds water. If you're living in a cold area, you're going to eat things that are going to be a little bit hotter. You know, more pepper, more ginger. You know, more prickly ash.
Tony,
you know, things like this.
What else does pectin do?
I'm sorry.
What else does pectin do?
Oh, that'll pull metal out of your body.
That's what I was wondering. I thought there was something.
That detoxes you.
Okay, it was a chelator.
Yep. I give a formula out to people. You know, two of them actually. People who have problems with constipation, the one formula I give is take two apples, peel them, put them in a blender, chop them up small enough so the blender can get going, add a little water to it, and take a beet. Peel the beet, throw it in there with it, add some cinnamon powder or peppermint, essential oil of peppermint, one or two drops, blend it up till you got a nice mush, and consume that. The beet gives you an increased level of hydrochloric acid, so now your stomach's able to break down whatever's going on. You're going to get nitric oxide out of the beet, which is going to be good for fighting cancer, as well as opening up your brain, because there's just a study about nitric oxide for the brain from beets. The apple is going to give you your pectin, so it's going to either absorb water or put water into the colon to help lubricate the colon. They're both going to break down toxins and regenerate. One's going to regenerate the blood. One is going to absorb toxins. And apple has quercetin in it, which repairs a damaged colon. Colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, leaky gut syndrome. It has the means to repair this. But you have to quit eating bread, pasta, rice, corn, crackers. No grapes, no watermelon, no raisins, no bananas. No one says, bananas, they got potassium. Only if they're black.
So that means refrigerating them or something? Or
Them spoil.
Just let them, okay.
Okay, you're letting them ferment, right? When you ferment, what happens? The sugar gets consumed. When the sugar gets consumed, what happens? Now the mineral content and the antioxidant content of that fruit or vegetable actually comes up higher because you removed the sugar. So now you're absorbing the main essence of what you're eating. Because so many people eat so much pasta and rice and starchy carbohydrates, I eliminate that as well because how I explain it is, think of your colon as like a balloon, okay? And it squeezes up and down, side to side, because it's moving fecal matter through the intestinal tract. Now, you're eating a piece of bread or a banana or a grape or a pasta. What's happening is now you're bloating. Boom. Now you're producing alcohol because you're fermenting that sugar in your colon. That expansion now is the result of the alcohol and the gases eating away at the lining of the colon. So instead of the poisons of the body going out the back door or through the skin as through sweat or breathing it out, it's now going back into the bloodstream. Where does it go? South of the border, into your legs and other parts. What happens? All of a sudden we've got fibromyalgia. All of a sudden we've got restless leg syndrome. All of a sudden we've got arthritis. All of a sudden we've got cancer. So when you eliminate the bread, what happens is the colon shrinks back down. It's no longer being inflamed. Now, what do you use for a carbohydrate? Because you got to have them, right? You do have to have carbs. So you're going to start using fruits like an apple. You're going to eat vegetables like garlic and onion. Why? Because the onion and the apple both have quercetin. And what's that going to do? It's going to repair that damaged colon. Okay? This can take up to a year. Now, quitting bread is like dropping a drug. Because you're addicted to it. All of us are. It's a sugar. It's been in our diets, especially those of us who have a European background or even an Asian or an East Indian background. The bread is still there, whether it be in a rice form or a wheat form, a corn form, it's bread. And when you have meat, you have bread. When you have soup, what are you dipping it with? Bread or crackers. Okay, so this has really got to stop. No cookies, cakes, or any facsimile of bread. No, like I said, no grapes, bananas, watermelons, or raisins. No soy under any circumstance. 1 teaspoon of soy takes 30 days to pass the intestinal tract. In the passing, it destroys your intestinal lining.
So that's not, you're even talking about fermented soy, too.
Even fermented. That fermented stuff is so much hogwash, it's not even funny.
Okay.
Seriously. It is so much hogwash. Soy, if you go on my webpage, I've got a UN study on soy. They included the Chinese. And when you read that study, you cannot get anything more damning than that report, other than the Israeli report. The Israeli one was even more damning, the Ministry of Health in Israel. They went out as far as saying nobody under the age of 18 should consume soy, and the only people that should be eating soy are those who cannot eat anything else. This was the study done by the Ministry of Health in Israel. So that's how toxic it is. The United States has known since 1912 that soy is dangerous under any circumstance. It took the corporations in 1955 or 56 to prove to the FDA beyond a shadow of a doubt that there wouldn't be any cross-contamination from stuff made from soy to wrap and package food in. As we all know, the FDA is there to protect the Americans and the United States from any kind of poisoning. Needless to say, they've done a wonderful job by introducing soy, aspartame, sucralose. They've done a fine job, they have. And then the FTC, which is another wing of the FDA, is now attacking vitamin companies and supplement companies who are actually trying to help people find a solution to their health issues. And the ones that they're not attacking are the ones that are selling you whatever they see fit to sell. And so when you see this, you have to understand something. I always say, if you see, a local farmer being squeezed out of business by Monsanto's mega corporate attitude, you should be supporting that farmer. Be selling chickens, buy the chickens from them, buy the eggs from them, buy the products from the farm. You know, you may find he may not have the salmonella that the corporate farming situation does have. We have another salmonella case going on. I mean, we had bad eggs, you know. We had listeria. We've had we have food contamination here in Canada under some meat manufacturing company. We've had a lot of horse manure going on here about our food safety.
Okay? Yeah, they, one of the first places they need to start looking is the water.
Your water, your feed. I mean, think about this. We've got cows. Instead of eating grasses, they're feeding them grains. Then when they die, they feed the dead carcass to the chickens and the pigs, which in turn excrete out the old dead cow and that comes out, and then they take that and feed it back to the cow. And then you got these vegans saying, see, this is why I'm a vegetarian, because I won't eat that crap. Right, now here we go. We take the crap from the cow that's been regurgitated, and we put it in the farmer's field. So now you got E. coli.
Yeah, how about
and
the
on top
that
of that, we have genetically modified your food. So you're no further ahead. You're still being poisoned. As a matter of fact, the poison is going to hit you a little bit harder than it's going to hit me eating the meat. Because at least the cow's digestive system will offset that on some level. Not completely, because mind you, now they're pumping hormones and antibiotics in the cows, which again is going into the fields. So this is how this whole food, this whole chain is going on. This is why I'm saying support the local farmer. Okay? If you can have chickens in your backyard, do so. Raise your own chickens. You know?
How about when you have some of the sewage plants that are giving away their or selling, I don't know if they may be selling it too, the sludge from these places and telling people that it's good to put on their crops?
Well, again, think about this now, right? You're taking crap, industrial crap, and we're putting it on a field. Now, we don't know what's in that industrial waste. I don't know what's in it, what xenoestrogen might be in there, or what cancer chemical might be in there. You know, I have no idea, and the farmer doesn't know either. Okay, now we're taking that. And now we're spraying Roundup on top of the crop. We've got a genetically altered seed in the ground. So what is this? This is a whole new biodynamic, a whole new biochemistry that we don't have a clue on. And all of a sudden now, the United States and Canada, because we don't know what the heck we're eating, it's not labeled. Oh, we may get vitamin A, vitamin B, and vitamin C, and we may have all the ingredients in there that they decide to list. Someone just said to me yesterday on the radio show that you can buy. They were buying walnuts that had been roasted in corn oil, but the corn oil wasn't listed on the package. Corn oil is probably from a genetically modified corn.
And the United States just decided that people could list MSG as flavoring.
Yeah, well, that's always been that. Artificial flavoring, natural flavoring. That's always been MSG. That's all soy based. When you see a food that says it's artificial natural flavor, years ago when I used to be natural flavor, I thought, oh, okay, it's just a natural thing, right? This is how you think. But natural flavor is not giving you a description of what it is.
Yeah.
If it says vanilla natural flavor, then I know that I'm thinking that it's vanilla. Now, that may not be completely accurate either, but to the best of my assessment at this point, that's what I'm saying. It's a natural vanilla. Now, when I'm saying natural flavoring or artificial flavoring, and I'm not giving you anything beside it, for instance, I know Hershey's makes a chocolate bar, and they go in their artificial flavoring, and then they put vanilla in, an artificial vanilla. So they're giving you that much. Now, if it says artificial or natural flavor, we are talking soy. Okay? So, then this is just a small smidgen of the poison. Okay, here I got an article here. Dangerous chemicals in food wrappers likely migrating to humans. You won't believe what the chemical is until I start reading it. Popcorn popped in microwaves, PAPs, are applied as grease-proofing agents to paper food contact packaging such as fast food wrappers and microwave popcorn bags. I'll skip on it. Perfluorinated carboxylic acids, or PFCAs, which is another fancy word for Teflon.
And it's also in all of our cans.
That's right. Okay, and then you're trying to keep a healthy diet, and this is why I tell people, when you go grocery shopping, you don't go down the aisle unless you're getting a can of tuna that doesn't have soy in it. If it says vegetable oil, vegetable broth, do not buy it. Leave it on the shelf. Okay? When you go into a store, you go down what I call the outer aisle walk. You go in the store, grab your cart, go toward the produce section, you get your fruit, your veggies, whatever in that section. Go to the back, you get your eggs, your butter. Don't get milk, get your yogurt with fat in it. If you can't find it at a store, go to a health food store. They will sell it there in the U.S. in the health store. In Canada, I can still get yogurt with fat, 3.2 to 3.75% fat. Then you go to the other outer end, which is your bread section. And again, if you're trying to really clean up the system, don't buy any bread. You may want to incorporate more potato in your diet because you do need a carb, or yucca or sweet potato. And when you do cook that, you'd either bake, boil, broil, or mash it. If you're a woman and you're going to eat a potato, don't eat it fried because it does increase the acrylamide levels up to about 95%, and you can wind up with a breast cancer from eating a fried potato. Now, if you do want to eat it fried, then you've got to soak it either in yogurt, calcium, or sulfur of some kind, garlic, onion, whatever, for at least 20 minutes before frying it. This will then neutralize it by about 96%.
And you're neutralizing what again?
Acrylamide.
And where does that come from?
Fried potato.
Okay.
It also comes from baked goods, fried in fat as well.
Okay, so it's a combination of the fat and the vegetable.
It's creating a new chemical reaction in the potato, which is producing this component. And you got to remember something, too, okay? I'm not sure, just as based on the studies I've seen about acrylamide and fried potatoes and fried or baked goods in fats, I'm not sure it's because they're using canola. I'm not sure it's because they're using soybean oil. I'm not sure if it's because maybe the stuff they're using is a genetically modified crop combined with a genetically modified oil derivative. So there's a lot of things there that are still kind of unknown why this is happening. But I do know in a lot of cultures that do eat potatoes, they do mix them with onion. And I think that's the reason why.
Okay. So it's just starting to sound pretty gloomy about putting anything in us.
Well, okay, you can look at it from one of two ways, okay? You can look at it saying, oh, crap, we can't eat nothing. Or you can look at it from the point of view, it's, okay, now I know what kind of poisons I'm eating. So now I can go about neutralizing or negating those poisons. See, this is how I look at it. Nothing is 100% in this life, you know, and nothing. So I don't care how good it is, nothing will ever be 100%. So, but you can mitigate and neutralize anywhere from between 85 and 95% of whatever, which is more than enough for your immune system to get a hold of whatever and get rid of. Now, I remember in the old days, well, I shouldn't say the old days, in past times, when people were training, they were telling you to eat 5 meals a day to sustain a metabolic rate, an increased metabolic rate. This was one of the themes that was used in the bodybuilding industry for years. Now, when you do eat that much in a day, even if they're small meals, you're actually wearing down your organs. Because your organs are constantly revved up. Every 2 hours you're eating, or every 3 hours you're eating, that means there's no rest time. So that means you're constantly breaking down the insides, and this is where you start to age. If you start wearing down the insides, you will start prematurely breaking down. So I always tell people, use adequate amount of protein, adequate amount of fat, and minimal carbs. Get your enzymes going in your system, especially if you're past 40. Use supplemental enzymes, or use high levels of kefir, or ferment your fruits and your juices so that you get a good dose of enzyme activity. And use antioxidants. And I always tell people, if you are not eating butter, get the cholesterol going, because the older you get, cholesterol goes up anyway. I don't care what you do to it. And cholesterol is acting as an antioxidant to protect your system from a whole host of conditions, one of them being cancer.
So
when you're giving somebody a statin drug, you're eliminating that defense mechanism.
Okay, then what we need to be kind of getting into then with what you're saying in the message, hidden in this message is maybe the eugenics program going on?
Oh, geez, most definitely. It's even worse than just eugenics. Let's call it democide or democide. It's a term, D-E-M-O-C-I-D-E. I may be butchering the pronunciation of it. But what this means basically is their own countries, creating a eugenics program within the country. Instead of going to war now and fighting a war with China, which becomes a very expensive endeavor, because once the war is over, you got to rebuild and do everything else, every government now has decided, okay, we will kill X amount of our populace. We'll get rid of these people that are getting up in age, and we're bringing these new immigrants into the country where they can take over, and once they reach a certain age, we'll create a dynamic where we will kill them off too. We'll
it's
use
not really
them
funny,
and throw them away.
Oh, such morbid humor.
Well, you know, you got to laugh at this on some level. I mean, you do. It's right out there. I mean, you can't help but look up in the sky and see a fumigation program going on with all the chemtrails. You know, you can't help but look at the water supply, the food supply, how poisonous it's become. This is something you do to a cockroach or to an ant problem that comes into your house. You put in a poison trap, you spray the air with an aerosol, you know, you go by the Raid or whatever and all over the place, and then you got the ant traps and the wasp sprays and the wasp glues and, you know, the cockroach things there, and, you know, you put your bay leaf to get the cockroaches out. And, you know, this is what we do with bugs.
Well,
so this is what's going on now with us. And now we're causing a dynamic in the weather, so now we're creating a new wave of superbugs, because the bugs that would normally be dormant and dead in the winter are now living longer, so now you're getting bit more by different things, and then you're wondering what the hell's going on, why is this happening now, and that's because we have changed the dynamic of the environment.
Well, one of the things that I kind of notice, and I question, is some of these areas that you're seeing such huge, huge, what they attribute to is beetle kill, and yet I half wonder, because I some other programs that I'd listened to that some of these, you know, like major ski areas where they have ridge to ridge, you know, die off, maybe with the way they're doing the geoengineering and creating the snow, it may be releasing. They're putting aluminum in there, and then it gets into the soil and absorbed back into the tree, which kills their ability to absorb the other nutrients. Now, are you aware of that?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of something this year about the mosaic virus, because the mosaic virus is a virus that they use to genetically modify the genome or the seed. Now, the mosaic virus cannot penetrate the epidermis of the skin or the skin of the plant. So what happens is, unless a bug bites into it or it gets broken by an animal that steps on it or whatever, it pretty well can resist the virus. But now we're dropping aluminum and thorium and barium and titanium and a whole host of other pathogens in the air in these chemtrails. So what happens is, this is like you say, it's choking up the tree or it's damaging the leaf, and all of a sudden you're seeing these black spotty spots occur on the leaves. All of a sudden it looks like it's been diseased. Now I'm thinking that's the mosaic virus taking over. See, Monsanto's got this thing in the law that if their seed mixes with another seed, they own the rights to that new plant because it's their technology. That was done in Canada. You know, we can thank our Supreme Court here for giving Monsanto, you know, free and clear access to basically rape everybody. So this is what's going on. Our chestnut trees this year got smoked. Our peach trees in the area here got smoked. They started blooming and everything was going fine. And all of a sudden we've had heavier chemtrail activity this year than we did last year. All of a sudden the peach trees got blitzed.
There has been different people talking about some of the different it's like some of the plants are acting weirder than they used to be, or they'd have the growing cycles were different than they had been in the past. Is this something that comes along with what you're talking about, or?
It could very well be. I'm not aware of that. I mean, and again, somebody might have observed this, and that's probably and maybe an adequate assessment. I was observing the damage that was being done here in our local area, and I was looking at the chestnut trees and the peach trees, and some maples got affected as well. I was looking at some of the herbs or the weeds that were growing in the area and seeing some of the what they were looking like. A lot of vegetarian was suffering and dying as a result of what was going on, which again is going to impact the bird population, which is going to impact the insect population. You know, there's a lot of death going on, you know, again, by divine creation, there's a cleanup factor that goes on. You know, bugs eat this, flies eat that, ants do this, you know. And so what winds up happening is they eat this genetically altered whatever, and now we have a new problem because these insects and the environmental way of breaking things down, the bacteria in the soil and whatnot, now is being changed as well. So again, it would not surprise me if somebody has observed that there has been a change or an alteration in the growth factors of trees or other plants in wherever area they have seen it.
Well, let me go ahead and just say this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and this is Truth Quest with Melody, and we've got Katie O'Brien as our co-host this evening, and our special guest is Tony Pantolorescu, and we're discussing all the fun things going on in our diets these days and ways to maybe address these issues, and Tony is a wealth of information on this stuff. So, and I also want to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. So, Tony, I keep going on with some of these things that we can do to kind of
Neutralize. Okay, always consider where you live. Always consider that. Okay? And take an assessment of how you're living. Okay, I put in a 19-20-hour day. That's my day. You know, I'm up at 8, don't go to bed till 2 and 3 in the morning. And sometimes 4. So if you see my
hope that's because you got plenty of business and you...
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I get into a research, you know, and I'm about ready to call it a day, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like the Almighty opens the door, and like, oh, look at this, you know, or, you know, the universe decides, hey, you got to take a look at this, or, you know, whatever. I always tell people, you know, whenever I'm leaving, they say, are you coming back? I said, unless I'm abducted by aliens, I walk through a stargate, you know, the earth opens up and swallows me, I get, you know, abducted by an alien, or I get raptured, I'm coming back, you know. So that's what happens. You get one of those, you know, those interdimensional whatever, I guess you want to call it, and you start doing the research, and all of a sudden, a whole venue of information pops up your way. You know, you're doing one research, and one thing's leading you to another, and all of a sudden, now you're up for another 3 hours. And it's like, oh, look at this. This was around back in the early 1700s, and look what they did. And it's like, I get all excited. Look what they did back then. Look what they figured out. You know, and I just get, oh, this will work today. So I get one of those things, you know. And then again, I get people contacting me from YouTube and from other things, and some of the things some of these people have been infected with or they are dealing with, it sometimes it gets really overwhelming. It's like, holy jumping, you know. So you try to do the best you can, giving them the information, and then I'm back up researching and trying to figure this out and that out and seeing what's going on. And then, you know, sometimes I get these 9-mile-long terms that the medical field gives somebody, and all it is maybe a hangnail, you know, but they give this such a glorious title. So, you're looking this up, and that's all that is, you know, and then you tell somebody. And the biggest thing you got to tell people, or you try to convey to people, I should say, is... it is not as bad as they've made it. You know, I should wear a white coat and a stethoscope. This way I can be more of a, what do you call those speakers? When they motivate you and give you a positive outlook.
Motivational
anyway.
Speaker?
Sorry?
Motivational speaker.
That's it. I should be one of those. You know, wear a white coat and a stethoscope and say, it's not that bad.
Well, there's one person I listen to that claims that they've kind of designed, they want the humans to be this human processing plant now, and they're doing it on, you know, in genetic terms. And one of the things I want to know is, and maybe you have an answer to, is what are they doing putting titanium dioxide in food?
That was used years ago as a whitening agent for a lot of things, for supplements and for other things. And there wasn't really a whole lot at the time about it. And I often wondered too, when I used to see it years ago, I thought, why is this in there? Because this is usually an airplane metal or in other things. But again, when you're looking at some of these things that are in our food, you've got to think in terms of it's a cheap way of dumping poop.
I've come to that belief that
that's how they get rid of junk. Look at soy. You know why soy is so popular today? The real reason why is because back in the 60s, when they started manufacturing products out of soy, they had all this crap piled up in the landfills, and it was costing them a fortune to get rid of it. So someone came up with a brainstorm idea. They were feeding it to goats, and they were feeding it to cows, and they were feeding it to the livestock. Why not feed it to people? So in the 60s, during the war in Vietnam, the hippies were protesting. We hell no, we won't go. But they weren't working. Okay? So they started eating this stuff. So everyone thought it was cool to wear an upside-down broken cross with a circle around it, which was called a peace sign. And they were eating soy. So, and then they were in these, you know, multicolored shirts and, getting off on acid and everything else. Everyone thought, ooh, that's got to be cool. So everyone started, getting into the soy thing. And it only lasted for about maybe 4 or 5 months. Then they revamped it again, and they brought it back in the 70s, and it lasted for another 4 or 5 months because the stuff tasted like crap. So then somebody came up with a great idea in the 80s and made it flavorful. They isolated it. In other words, they were able to filter it out more efficiently. They got the idea from doing it with whey. And then they figured they could sweeten it up. So then they came up with all these studies about the Japanese and how the Japanese all eat all this soy, because Japanese women do not get breast cancer. You know, that's the biggest pile of baloney ever. They do get breast cancer. I got news for everybody. You know, and they get other kinds of cancers. They get pancreatic cancers. They get thyroid cancers. They get esophageal cancers. And it was all from this bloody soy. So, you know, people think, and then they got on this whole thing about being anti-meat. You know, oh, we're going to kill Bambi here, or we're going to kill, you know, Donald Duck here, or whatever we're doing, you know. So then all of a sudden we had this meat aversion. Then we started thinking, well, the Hindus don't eat meat because they think it's, you know, their ancestors coming back and it's a sacred cow, and, you know, and then we got in all this, these different, I don't know what you'd call them, theological opinions about what we should be eating. And nobody ever took the time to look at the biochemistry during that time frame. So a lot of this stuff got entrenched because the globalists, the industrialists, had all this waste, and we were the cheapest way of getting rid of it because when we flushed it down the toilet, it went into the water system. So now the state, on the state level, they were filtering out toxic waste coming out of us, which, by the way, the water filtration system isn't designed to clean up, like, for instance, all this birth control. There's nothing in place to actually clean that up. This is why you don't drink tap water. This is why we're having a problem with the endocrine system for both men and women.
But how about the fact that they add chloramine to the water as well, which...
What are they adding?
Chloramine?
That's a new one on me.
Okay, that's...
I know they're adding bromine and chlorine and aluminum and, you know, everything else under the sun. And they want to add, lithium now to the water.
Okay, well, I'll send you an article that addresses that by somebody that introduced it. He went through a lot of problems over bringing this out, and the chloramine is a combination between chlorine and ammonia.
Oh, lovely! You're kidding?
No.
Let's just fry the insides right out. If the soy isn't going to eat you alive, hell, we'll speed it up. Well, just like the latest wave of vaccinations. Now they want to add MSG to it.
Well, another one that I heard, there's, I forgot how many hundreds of different fluorides there are. So, in other words, when you're talking about toxins, I figured that they're adding a fluoride molecule to any of the toxins, and then they can pass it off as fluoride.
Well, you know what? That wasn't surprising. You know, in these days, it doesn't... You know, the best thing you can do is buy a distiller. one that'll extract the water from the air, or boil down the water, collect the steam, and filter through a carbon filter. That's probably the easiest way for a lot of people who can't afford to buy these heavy-duty, like Berkey systems or reverse osmosis system. You know, I think it's going to come to a point, like I said, I was just talking to somebody today about this and about getting prepared and stockpiling things, and he asked me, what would I stockpile? Excuse me, the first thing I said I would stockpile is gelatin. I would be stockpiling that by the pound. That stuff never goes bad. It's a protein. Your body needs it. It helps regenerate everything. And if you combine it with egg, it actually boosts the biological value of egg from 93 to 99. The 100 is as high as you can go. In plain old simple terms, that means that out of a 100 rating, you're absorbing 99 out of 100 when you add gelatin to egg. Now, let's take it one further. Let's make some egg protein.
But wait a minute. Now, that is made from animals.
Yeah, so what?
Okay, so
those eggs.
So, yeah, but, I know, but what I'm saying is that if they still has to absorb some of the stuff that you were talking about earlier.
All the research I've done on gelatin is this. It is the cleanest food on the planet. It is one of the most heavily monitored foods on the planet. Because they use it for so many different things. And by the time that's all broken down, all you've got left is the amino acid. So basically it's got all the amino acids except, which one is it? Tryptophan. And I believe it has a low level of lysine.
So it's got a lot of it's got the full spectrum of aminos in your cell.
Almost, except for tryptophan, which is essential,
okay.
But your body can manufacture it from the other amino acids. And it absorbs good. And I always tell people, especially if they've got arthritis conditions, take a teaspoon of that, put it in your tea in the morning. No cream, no sugar. You want to use unpasteurized honey, maple syrup, xylitol, stevia. Knock yourself out. But add that to your tea. Add it to your coffee. Put it in your smoothie. If you're making a soup, whip up an egg, put your gelatin in the water, boil it up, throw the egg in there. You just made an egg drop soup. Add some onion powder and add some pepper and then drink that. There is a simple protein mix. One egg is equivalent to 6 grams of protein. Hmm. Put 3 or 4 eggs in there. There's 24 grams. Now what we've done, we've added gelatin to it. What have we done? We've increased the uptake up to 99 from 93.
Okay, now, do you subscribe to raw versus cooking on anything?
It depends. It depends. If I'm going to the grocery store and I'm buying an egg from there, nope, I'm cooking it. If I'm getting it from a farm and I know the guy's letting them eat worms and running around, no problem. I'll take that egg and I'll take it raw and put it in my smoothie or whatever, you know. But it depends. You know, it really does. I do not trust the food industry. I'm a jaded SOB. I just tell people the way it is. I'm just jaded. You know, I do not believe for 1 minute that in America or Canada that we have a better quality food safety than they do in China or India. I don't believe it. In the last year, we've had 6 different outbreaks in North America alone. But because another country had an outbreak, we got caught up on that, and now everyone wants to not buy stuff from China because they're paranoid. And yet, when we had the outbreaks here, okay, we just had an egg outbreak here, for crying out loud. Now, why in the world would we have an egg outbreak here in the United States and Canada? You know, we have supposedly the highest standards in the world.
Well, how about the living conditions of the chicken?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. So again, if I'm going to go buy an egg at a market, knowing that the chicken's eggs are probably coming from a factory farmed chicken or a factory farmed duck, I am going to cook it. You know, I was looking at a program how chickens are manufactured in a farm setting, how they have changed the genetics enough on the chicken so that the legs do not develop. So what happens is the upper torso develops and the legs don't. So eventually the chicken cannot sustain the weight of its body, so it falls on the ground. So as it's falling on the ground, it's pushing itself in the urine, which is ammonia. When you go to the grocery store, you look at the chicken, any major grocery store chain, and you look at the breast part, and you see this reddish, brownish, burnish looking thing on the breast. Or you'll look at the skin, and you'll see the skin has been slightly peeled. It's clean in one area where you got the kind of the rough skin or where the feathers were. You know, all of a sudden you got the smooth spot. That's ammonia burn. Okay? That's ammonia burn. So this is why I will not eat raw. Now, this is why I say support your local farmer. I was watching a video about a woman down in, I think, Tennessee or Kentucky, and Tyson Chicken was trying to force her to change her way of doing things. She refused to do so. They cut her off her contract, and she started explaining about chickens and how many die in a day and what Tyson Farms was doing. They're keeping chickens in the dark all the time, force feeding them, keeping them in this environment which is hostile, so again, this is breeding disease. I do not eat chicken that often anymore. I still do eat it, but a lot of times when I'm cooking it, again, I got vinegar on it, I've got rosemary into it, I've got all kinds of stuff into it, again, to neutralize or negate any possible problem that may occur.
Katie, do you got some questions?
Well, I'd really like to return to the iodine. You mentioned a couple of different types of iodine, the Lugol's, and then there's nascent iodine. What is the difference?
The nascent iodine is charged. It's supposed to be charged electrically in some form or fashion. It's a lighter, I shouldn't say, it's less, it's not as strong as the Lugol's. So again, depending on your condition, some may find that they respond better with the nascent. Some may find they respond better with the Lugol's. I was talking to a chemist buddy of mine, who's because we were talking about the SSKI, or supersaturated iodine. And so when you look at the per ratio, how much iodine is like per one drop, in an SSKI solution, one drop is equivalent to about 35 milligrams. In the Lugol's solution, you're about 12.5 milligrams, that's 5%. And if you're using the nascent iodine, you're about 2 to 3 milligrams. So there's a difference.
And why would you choose one over the other?
Depends on what I'm trying to do. Again, if I'm just using iodine, again, for my immune system and for support, I use the Lugol's. The studies all show that, let's go back to the Japanese. They eat 3 ounces of seaweed a day. They're getting approximately 18 milligrams of iodine every day in through their diet. So if Lugol's is going to give me 12.5 per drop, I may use 2 drops a day. That's going to give me more than enough. Now, I always tell people, like here, because of deficiency issues going on, brain issues. I mean, I had one girl that was using lithium. After 9 months of being on Lugol's, got off of lithium. So, because it works where lithium shouldn't be, and again, when they're giving you lithium, it's because you do have an iodine deficiency in the brain. So, it did restore. I'll use the SSKI, for instance. If I'm going somewhere and I know it's extremely toxic, I will spray it on my skin if I got something going on. I may take it in water, spray it in water so that I can drink it. The difference is that if you're putting them both on topically for absorption, the Lugol's penetrates, whereas the SSKI is looking for ways to penetrate with moisture. So it may take a little longer because they both have a salt to them, but they both work.
And
they both work. If you've got cyst and you use the SSKI and you spray it topically on the cyst, it'll shrink it.
You're saying that, okay, now say, which one was it again that you said will shrink the cysts?
The SSKI means supersaturated potassium iodide.
Okay.
That one will shrink cysts.
So would that have an effect on tumors?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and so what if it was mixed with a transfer agent like the DMSO?
Oh, I've done it. It's a beauty. Stings like hell, but it's a beauty. But you know it's penetrating.
Okay.
Well, okay,
I've had wounds on me. I've had wounds on myself that I've applied it on, and by the next day I couldn't believe the difference. Like, holy smokes, that worked fast. Now, it doesn't always work fast. I mean, I had a skin tag which I used the Lugo's iodine on. It took 3.5 weeks, but finally fell off. I said, hey, what do you know? It worked, you know. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. I'm always exploring some of the things I read and then seeing if there's any merit to it.
And the recipe for the Lugo's can be found at your website or...
can be found on the YouTube.
YouTube, okay.
Okay, and I believe it's on the website as well. I do have an iodine link on my website, too.
And is that on your DVD?
Yeah, it's on the DVD. Okay, anything you see on the YouTube is on the DVD. The only difference is there's a book with the that goes with it.
Okay.
With the first one.
And in regard to using iodine, I understand that fluoride is not a good thing to use with the iodine.
Well, the iodine will pull fluoride out. Fluoride knocks iodine out, but in order to knock out fluoride, you increase your iodine.
So that's
another reason why we might be missing the iodine is because if they're trying to give us fluoride
fluoride will knock it out. So will chlorine, so will bromine. You know, there's a lot of things that will knock out iodine. But once you put it back in, it will bind with fluoride. It will bind with chlorine. It will bind with aluminum. It will bind with bromine. It will knock it out. Things that will displace something, if you increase that, it'll displace whatever's trying to displace it. I'm just trying to think. For instance, aluminum will block, I believe, calcium absorption, but if you increase the calcium, it'll also displace the aluminum. It's one of those things. So this is why it's important to make sure you got an adequate amount of minerals in your system that are going to counteract negative minerals. Selenium pulls out, I believe, some levels of mercury as well as aluminum. Calcium blocks, I believe, aluminum. It also, if you have too much iron in the system, it'll help regulate the iron and get rid of the excess.
What if you're not absorbing iron?
Well, if you're not absorbing iron, then I would tell you to increase your vitamin C and B12 levels so that you will.
Okay.
Take some copper with it.
Okay, and when you were talking about the applesauce, would that have a tendency also to work on the gallstones?
On the what? I'm sorry?
The applesauce, when you were talking earlier about using apples for in your diet, and I...
For the intestinal tract, you mean?
Uh-huh, intestinal tract. Would that also work on anything along with gallstones?
Maybe indirectly. When you're talking gallstones, basically sometimes what it is, it's a fatty calcium fat deposit. So the one thing that I've seen work is the lemon juice and the olive oil. And when you look at that, the reason why it works is because you've got citric acid, which breaks down calcium deposits. So if you've got kidney stones, you want to increase your citric acid levels. And it's got the vitamin E in it as well to displace the fat. So when you're doing this, basically you're putting citric acid and vitamin E together to break down these stones. Now, I've seen this work with people time and time again. I had one woman in Arizona that passed 13 stones after trying this. And it basically saved her from an unnecessary surgical procedure. So,
I've heard that done with apple juice, too, though.
If there's citric acid in it, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I mean, again, that's the key thing you got to look at. What's in it? You know, is there something that's going to break down the calcium deposit? Is something going to break down the fat? You got to remember, there's enough lipase enzymes in your foods or whatever you're taking. It will dissolve fat as well. Sometimes by just buying lipase and just using it, it can break down the gallstone.
Okay. And so how would you take it? Would you just put...
Just in a capsule form.
Oh, okay.
You know, mix it with yogurt if you want to open up the powder, and down you go. Lipase is an enzyme that breaks down fat. So again, sometimes when you're eating a lot of fats, and they do accumulate in the gall area or in the liver, you may need to take something like lecithin or vitamin E or a lipase enzyme to help again remove or displace or get rid of it. This is why I say it's always probably good to get into some sort of rotational thing when you're eating.
One of the things, when you're saying lecithin, a lot of the lecithin's made out of soy, isn't it?
Yes, but we have found one that's made out of sunflower.
Okay. But that's just a recent entry, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I haven't eaten soy. I haven't eaten lecithin in about 20 years, unless it was in my food and I couldn't get around it. But no, I mean, I used to use lecithin years ago when it was an egg lecithin. And the egg yolk lecithin is still being sold. It has been sold. There is a company that actually sells it. Nature something. They're in the green and yellow container. But they were the only company that I found that had the egg yolk lecithin and had a document in each bottle that they sold to guarantee accuracy and quality. And in Israel, they were using the egg yolk lecithin specifically for hepatitis issues in the liver. They weren't using the soy. They were using the egg yolk. But the egg yolk lecithin was expensive. The sunflower lecithin has actually 25% more choline in it than the soy. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, yes, nootropic, here we go. Boom, and it's not expensive. You can buy it anywhere in the U.S. Now Brand has one, and there's another one that comes in the gelatinous form. I forget the name of the company. But you can find it now, and it was the Russians that came up with it. Those people are smart. They didn't want to eat soy either.
Now, what do you think about a lot of these pharmaceutical companies being on the boards of these vitamin companies?
That's been there for about 25 years. It's nothing new.
Okay.
Why do you think the health food industry is going more and more toward being eliminated, regulated, dissected, bisected, whatever, and being shot down? Look, we just passed Bill C-36 here in Canada. Okay. That's saying that a health inspector can go into your house, your apartment building, your place of work, and if you've got something in your house, place of work, wherever, and they feel, you know, they have feelings. They feel that it's not a product that you should have or it's not under the regulations. They can confiscate everything you own, throw it in the lockup. You have to pay for the lockup. In other words, they're going to bankrupt you. And now we had a health food store in this country, a national brand, Nutrition House, has come right out and said that they were going to be on board with the government, that if they couldn't sell the vitamin, neither could you. And I really gave that a good blast on yesterday's show, and I put it on my MySpace, and I put it on my webpage as well. And why they did this, I'll tell you why they did. Two reasons why they did this. One, to start infighting with the smaller shops. So everyone will start turning everybody in. This was a perfect ploy by the government to get everybody to start hanging everybody else. Secondly, they are a franchise chain. And a lot of the franchisers were carrying supplements that were not, quote-unquote,
pure?
No, not pure. They weren't legal to have in Canada. They've been sitting on the shelf waiting for legality and okaying, and the Canadian government hasn't made any fast moves to release these things, because the drug companies wanted to slow things down. So what happened was these franchises brought these products in because they worked. And they sold. Okay? And so now they have to put this out there so that they were saying that if you're caught with these products, that they were going to work with the government. In other words, they would probably take away your franchise or whatever. Now, a lot of health food stores in Canada are selling very rudimentary products. And a lot of them are about as effective as the wind, as far as some of the supplements go. There's a catch-22 with either being on either side of the border. On the United States side, almost anything can be sold and put out there, which gives you free and clear access. In Canada, there's restrictions, which doesn't give you free and clear access. And now, access is going to be even less accessible. I think our Prime Minister in Canada should be sued for violating parliamentary procedure and also for discriminatory practices, because they can still sell tobacco and sell you cigarettes, and that's okay, but now you can't have access to a vitamin. So if we're going to do any banning, this should be right across the board.
So does this tie in a little bit on learning how to make vitamins?
Well, I saw this coming 2 years ago. You got to remember, I've been in this industry for almost 16 years. And, you know, I've seen it go from unethical practices in the health food industry. I remember 25 years ago, we had supplements on the shelf that really worked and worked well. Octicosanil was one supplement that should never have left the shelf. Wheat germ oil is one that's sort of taken a back burner to the omega-3 nonsense and the fish oil nonsense. That wheat germ oil has got over 70 or 80 years of solid research validating how it even has been used to treat muscular sclerosis.
Hmm.
Okay? And yet today, you don't hear a pip out of it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you how they shot it down. They shot it down by saying people with weed allergies may have a negative reaction. Well, that scared everybody away from the thing. I still have been using it. I don't eat bread, but I will use that. That stuff will increase cellular oxygen. That stuff will help you deal with altitude stress. That stuff helps with energy. Okay, it helps with brain regeneration, spinal regeneration, you know, endurance. Helps fight cancer, helps boost the immune system. Yet you don't hear a pip about it. Then they extracted the octocosinol out of it, which made it even more effective. Well, it was more volatile as well because you took away some of the protective properties from the weed germ oil. But it worked good. Anybody that used that stuff 25 or 30 years ago that was training with weights would tell you all of a sudden they're lifting the house. You know, they're like, yeah, you know, and the way they went. Glycerin and is another product that used to be sold. I have just finally found a company that sells coconut glycerin. Now, what glycerin does is it helps you retain your fluid. So while you're training, you don't dehydrate. Cyclists used to use this. Triathletes used to use this back again about 20, 25 years ago. Again, it's another one of these products that have been gone by the wayside. All the glycerin products are now soy-based, but I did find one that was coconut-based, and I got all excited. Yes, coconut. Here we go. You know. MCT, medium-chain triglyceride oil. This is another fat that those of you who are trying to reduce, those of you who are training, those of you who just want general health, because this oil will actually help trigger growth hormone release. This was a fat that burned like a carbohydrate. You can cook with it. You can take it straight up. You can put it in a smoothie.
And what
you
is
know,
it?
You can mix it with iodine to get even a more thermogenic effect with it. It is a good fat. Again, you don't hear anything about it.
What do you hear?
Wait a minute. What was that fat?
MCT.
MCT. Monkey. As
yeah, monkey Charlie Tire.
Thank you.
And I've never heard of it. So
medium chain triglyceride.
Oh, okay.
It's derived from coconut.
Okay, so the coconut oil then.
Well, it's a derivative of it.
Okay.
It's a good oil. You use that with wheat germ oil, and if you're in a high altitude area, give it about 2 weeks. All of a sudden, you've got endurance again. You thought you lost. Take that with a little iodine. Watch all of a sudden some of the body mass shrink on you. Watch your stamina go up even more. Watch even the cold. If you're getting hit with a lot of cold, watch you tolerate it a whole lot better.
Well, and Katie,
well,
any more questions?
Could you tell us a little bit about the big blast about the fish oils and omega-3, omega-6? They've really been pushing these.
All right. On my one show, see here, hold on a second. Let me see if I got it here somewhere. All right, here it is. You go on my webpage and you look at the show of the week of November 8th, you'll see omega-3, danger and misinformation, the fallacy of fish oil. The fish oil is the biggest pile of rubbish that's hit this thing in the last 5 years. It's another soy in the making. All this crap about distilled, mercury-free, PCB-free, it's all a lot of horse hockey. What happens is they go through a distillation process, which means they're heating the oil. It's an omega-3. If it's heated above 104 degrees Fahrenheit, it's dead. Now it's a cancer-causing fat. Okay, there was some goof that came on the internet a little while ago. It was supposed to be a PhD and in some sort of health thing in some state or whatever, and I thought PhD stands for pile higher and deeper. In this situation, it actually applied. And the guy was saying that he was cooking with canola oil and it didn't smoke. And as a result of it not smoking, that omega-3 was still good. This is a PhD, mind you. Obviously, he didn't do enough research to realize that if once you heat an omega-3 at 104 degrees, there is no protective property. It's heated, it's damaged, and you're eating that now. This is why I tell people don't use canola oil.
So they should actually look for an omega-3 or an omega-6 that has not been heated.
Exactly.
And
now,
how would you tell that?
Well, because it's the source you're going to. See, I give people walnut oil for omega-3. And on my YouTube, I show you how to make your own omega-3, 6, 9. Omega-3s should never be taken by themselves, ever. All this crap that Udo's talked about way back in the day to sell the omega-3 pitch, that Americans have too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. You know, he was right on that, but to say just use omega-3, that was dumb. You got to take these things in balance and in the right ratios. The omega-3 should be one part, not two. The omega-6 to omega-3 should be two parts 6, one part 3. And the omega-9 should be one-to-one with the omega-3. Now, that's the information coming from the other side of the planet. And when you look at the webpage I've got on the omega-3 in the show of the week of November 8th, you're going to see all the things that are on there about it. Okay? It's the omega-6 that breaks down that causes some of the issues. But they found that the studies have found that when people do use omega-3s, it only works up until the first year. If you maintain omega-3 consumption by itself for 4 years, you run the risk, a higher risk, of heart failure.
Hmm.
The Asian studies done on it says not only does it thin your blood initially, but it also starts thickening the arterial lining of the artery. So now you're pinching off the blood anyway. It's just your body's way of compensating to regulate blood pressure. Now they're telling everybody to take all this vitamin D. Vitamin D3, you need vitamin D3. You're vitamin D3 deficient, blah, blah, blah. Vitamin D3 increases calcium uptake. Sounds like a good idea, right? Now we're adding omega-3 to this mix. What are we doing? We're thinning the arterial lining and we're increasing calcium. What are we asking for? We're asking for atherosclerosis.
And what
calcium
is that?
Calcium deposits around the heart.
Are they starting to see effects of that?
You won't for a while yet because this is relatively new. But you got to remember, I've been in this game for a while. So every time I've seen some sort of thing being perpetrated, I also see afterwards some of the impact from this from these sales pitch, these nutraceutical science to sell you junk, you know. I was one of the few people, like I said, 15, 17 years ago, that said we shouldn't be eating soy. When soy was at its height and its climax of being popular, I was saying no. Even my store manager says, well, how come you're saying no and everybody else is saying yes? And I even brought him that 23-page report. I said, this is a UN study. I said, I don't care what the industry is saying. This was put out, all this thing about soy was put out by the Solea industry. They had money and they were going to actually patent soy at the time. It was the Ministry of Health in Israel that stopped them from doing the patenting. Now the same thing is going on with fish oil. Why? Because it's a waste byproduct, and you are there to be the garbage disposal again. The studies are saying if you're going to eat omega-3, eat the whole fish. The Western Western Price studies, when they studied the Alaskans and found out they didn't have the, you know, the gingivitis of the teeth, and they were healthy, and they had good blood and all this, when they wrote about them eating omega-3s, they were talking about the fish and the blubber, not just the fat. They ate everything. And again, this is all about biochemical reactions. So if you're taking something out and extrapolating something out like this, okay, initially it may help, and they say it may help initially, but if the longer you use it, the more damage it causes. See, on this, I'll just read you a little excerpt here. Okay, to gain the best in scientific research, in 2002, I attended the world's first essential fatty acids and human nutrition and health international conference in Shanghai, China. There I discovered a shocking and unexpected discovery that fish oil lowers immunity. Overdosing on fish oil supplements can significantly decrease the effectiveness of your immune system, increasing the risk of contracting cancer. Okay, reported on a study where both the fish oil group and the control group showed close to equal atherosclerotic progression, arteries getting more clogged, in spite of taking fish oil supplements. Nor did fish oil stop thickening of the artery. On the contrary, the artery wall got thicker with fish oil ingestion. A mere 1.65 grams per day. They're telling people to take 3,000 grams a day of this stuff.
Wow.
Okay. 1.6 grams a day of fish oil supplement was taken, a great enough dose to cause adverse immunity and excessive internal bleeding as well.
Now,
so again, I'm one of these guys that goes against the flow. The health food industry today has no ethical anything. They're owned and operated by the major food chains as well as the pharmaceutical industry. And there is a graph you can look up online. I don't know where it is right off the bat, but they show you all the health food stores that are out there, some of the major chains, and then who's behind them. And you'd be surprised who owns what. So you got to remember, in the United States, I believe it's a $50 billion a year industry there. Here in Canada, it's about $5 to $8 billion. And it's going to get lower here because of the stupid regulations we have. We have the dumbest and most corrupt government on the planet. Well, second most corrupt government on the planet, but we have one of the dumbest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're first.
Nope, not you guys. Not America. Nope, nope, nope.
Oh, you got to
India.
India.
Some may argue the South American country where they defied the U.S. I can't think of who it is right off the bat. But anyway, Nicaragua? No, Nicaragua.
Bolivia or
Colombia?
Yeah.
Not Colombia. Anyway.
Argentina?
No, no.
Ecuador?
No, not Ecuador. They're up in the northwest.
Bolivia?
No. Noriega?
I can't believe I can't think of it.
I can't either. Well, see, they made the news about 6 months ago, and now it's passed. They've caused their distraction. They moved
Venezuela.
On.
Venezuela.
That's it. There you go. Okay, they're arguably number one, but I think it's still India. India, if you got the money, you can do whatever you want.
And when you were discouraging the whole fish oil, does that include cod liver oil?
I would say so today. I mean, look, it all depends on how it's being made, okay, and how it's being actually filtered. Look, with all the crap in the water, the one study I found was that they had been fishing whales in the ocean, and when they pulled them out, they had high levels of cadmium, chromium, manganese, and other industrial metals. So this is now in the oceans. So you got to remember, whale blubber has a lot of fat, which would absorb a lot of these metals to protect the whale. The fat is part of our immune system's defense mechanisms. So, you know, if this is in the whale, what's in the fish? And then think about it. What's in the bottom feeders that are trying to clean up the environment in the ocean, like your crab, your lobster, your crayfish, your clam? You know, these things are bottom feeders that feed and clean the waste of the ocean. How much metal toxicity is in this stuff?
Well, do you think that's why so many people have become allergic to shellfish?
I would think so, because of the overload of poisonous material that is in the ocean now. Look, there's a section in the Pacific that has got nothing but high amounts of plastic. They say the landmass of this plastic that's accumulated in this part of the ocean or part of the world is equivalent to the size of the United States.
It's a Pacific gear.
Yeah. So they're saying the aquatic life there is just either being overloaded with the estrogens, dying from the plastic poisoning, or changing. So can you imagine a whale or some other animal that feeds off of plankton sucks in this plastic? What happens? Now we have a xenoestrogen and chemicals and pollutants in this fat. The Inuit people eat this, boom, they can't figure out why they got cancer all of a sudden.
Well, speaking of such toxins, could you explain a little bit about the PCBs and the OC insecticides that they have found in our supplements?
No. What supplements?
Well, I guess a variety, and especially the omega-3.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. A lot of your fat soluble will have that in there. And again, this is why I discourage eating the oils and eating these things because of this. I mean, like I said, when you're seeing on a label that it's PCB-free or mercury-free or whatever, what that is really saying is there's a certain level that they state is toxic. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 5 is toxic. But in your particular product, you're at 0.1 or at 1, okay? Well, based on that, you can sell it and say, make the claim that it is PCB-free because you're not over 5. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't get sick from it. It just means that this will accumulate in your body at a slower rate. So maybe 10 years from now, you can't figure out why you've got a cancer, why you've got arthritis, why you've got intestinal issues, why you've got maybe a colitis, or maybe you've got leaky gut, why you might have a pancreas issue, why your liver might be failing you. you know, you won't know it because you're in your mind thinking, well, I'm doing all the right things. I'm getting the fish oil supplements. I'm taking the vitamin D supplements. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing everything everybody's telling me to do. And yet I'm still getting sick. So, you see, it's again, all about what they're doing. You have to understand, like I said, this industry is not about being ethical. It's about the bottom line, making money, making a profit margin. You know, this is not about health care anymore. The health food industry used to be about health care. Okay, today it isn't. You know, today, if you have a supplement or you have a remedy, if you have something that actually works, those are the companies that are being attacked. The FTC attacked 11 companies about a year ago, and every one of the companies they went after was because of some label claim dispute. And when I looked at all the companies, all eight of them that were being attacked, or whatever, 11 of them that were being attacked, every one of them had products that worked. I looked at this, yeah, that gets rid of cancer, yeah, it gets rid of HIV, yeah, that gets rid of hepatitis C, yeah, that gets rid of, you know, whatever. And I laughed and I saw that because these are the ones that were targeted that worked.
Well, maybe that's part of the research study in regard to having no direct control, but having a control group that they're feeding it to. If they can't get it, they pretty much have better stats, correct?
Well, they have better stats as far as more people going to use the drugs. Because now if you can't get the SCACT, for instance, or if you can't get the AHCC mushroom group, or if you can't get trypsin as an enzyme by itself to fight off cancers, all of a sudden now you have no choice. You don't, you know, you think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And all that's left to you is a drug. So then or either that or you die. So all of a sudden we have another statistic. You know, that, it's a bad way of looking at it, but that's the way it is, unfortunately.
Well, Katie, did you get most of your questions answered there?
Oh, I got a few. I think I could talk to Tony here for a very long time.
Okay, now what is the...
We could do a lightning round,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
I did that last weekend.
Could get into the DMSO a little bit further and why... its uses and what...
Well, it was used at one point in time for animals, and then people started using it, and they saw all kinds of results with arthritis issues, visual issues. I was reading one study where a guy had a, what's it called? It's where you got an excess amount of collagen built up in the skin, and he had it on both hands, and sclerodoma, I think it's called. Anyway... They applied it on the one hand, they didn't apply it on the other, and they found that it cleared up. Not only did it clear up on the one hand, but it cleared up the other as well, because now DMSO goes through the system. I've used it myself in regard to my legs. I've got injuries in my legs from my past in playing sports, and I've had it where even with blood congestion in the area, you use a couple of one or two applications, and all of a sudden, man, you're free and clear. I've used it on myself in regard to removing... dead tissue that just wasn't clearing up enough on its own. I mean, I would apply the peanut oil remedy and it worked. It would do so much. I would take a bath and I would apply the DMSO with iodine to fight off any infection. I was reading the other day on it where DMSO will go in places where nothing else will, and it not only reduces inflammation, the dental industry uses it as well. Not only does it reduce inflammation, but it also gets rid of infection. I thought, now there you go. A win-win here. So let's say you got parasites or whatever, and you want to take something, but you don't like the way things taste. All right, so you mix a little DMSO with wormwood and maybe black walnut or clove, mix the solution, slap it on your bum, your thighs, your quads, your ankles, whatever. Give it 20 seconds, and it's through your system. You can actually taste whatever you put with it. They've got a solution where they take, four cc's of DMSO with four cc's of SOD. Now, I'm not sure how diluted it is, but they put that in the eyes, and all of a sudden it removes glaucoma.
Huh.
Okay, and it clears up the vision.
Now, you're talking about superoxide call it.
Superoxide dismutase, yep.
And is when you're talking about that, how... I mean, you only get that in the powder form, is that?
Oh, you can liquefy anything you're there. I mean, anything you've got that you're seeing in a pill capsule or powder, you can liquefy it.
Okay.
You can infuse it with whatever, you can dilute it or dissolve it in whatever way. But the fact that they were actually putting that with the DMSO and then using it as a carrier, because you got high levels of SOD in your eyes. So I thought, well, this is another amazing. Now, let's say you can't get the SOD. They've said that even when you apply it on the skin for whatever issue you're using it for, all of a sudden people will find that their vision starts to increase.
Huh.
Because it's removing the impediments and the blockages that are there. Now, the FDA refuses to allow this to be used as a medicinal purpose other than interstitial cystitis. That's the only thing you can use it for because it seems to really work well with this.
And now, that is what?
That's usually an infection of the a cyst, basically.
Okay.
Inside of you, supposed to, and it'll help reduce the remove or reduce the cyst in the system.
Okay. Now, but that's done topically.
Nope. They even run that intravenously.
Interesting. So that's a sulfur?
You can make a 5% solution and take it internally. I've done it myself.
Uh-huh. So that's sulfur, the DMSO.
Yep.
Okay.
Your MSM that you buy converts to DMSO in your body.
Hmm.
And MSM is also found in onion, small amounts. So basically you got an extraction of an extraction.
So what do you think of some of these super concentrated, stabilized garlic?
The only one I use is the Kyolic, and I only use two of their formulas. Well, actually, they got four or five formulas that I like. I like the formula 108. I like formula 110. I like the regular. I think it's 106 where they've got the cayenne, the vitamin E, and the there's something else in it. I think it's astragalus with the garlic. They've got some good formulas. They put one together with the natokinase, and I thought they went down the toilet with that one. It would have been better off mixing that with serapepes. I'm not sure why they used natto, a soy base, instead.
I guess maybe what I'm saying is the ones that are allicin.
Well, again, you've got there's two things on garlic. Okay, when we were talking about live foods and fermentation, when you ferment stuff, sometimes you get a higher yield of a specific component you're looking for. In the case of the garlic, when you ferment it, you're going to get higher levels of L-cysteine. You get the allicin and everything else, but the cysteine is the one that converts to L-glutathione in your body direct. So it's a huge immune booster and an antioxidant. And also chelates with metals like lead, mercury, cadmium, aluminum as well. So, again, if you had allergies or you had respiratory issues, I would have you combine that, even the Kyolic 108, because, again, the way it supports the heart. And I was just looking at something the other day about how some of the remedies in the past would give you things that would first support the heart and then deal with the lungs. So if you were having weakness in the lungs, you would give things to benefit the heart. So, again, if you're taking vitamin C with the Kyolic 2-to-1 ratio, you got a win-win on both levels. So, again, it depends on who you talk to on the garlic. I either take it fresh, I'll either blend it in wine and then use it that way myself, or I'll put it in vinegar and blend it together that way and use it myself, filter it out or leave it all together. Or, like I said, I do use the Kyolic because, again, I like the one with the formula 108 is a homocysteine formula, so it blocks the conversion of cysteine to homocysteine, so you don't have a heart problem. That's what gives you the heart attack, not the cholesterol. That's the reason why I like that remedy. Some of the ones that are out there, some will call them garlicinase or whatever. I've never really seen some of these other ones work. I have seen Kyolic work. I have even seen it work at getting rid of a toothache in a day. You take even just a regular straight formula 100, which is a straight Kyolic, and you do two every hour. up until the fourth hour, then you do two every 3 hours. By the next day, your toothache is gone. Whatever infection or whatever was causing the toothache in the stomach has been knocked out. This acts as an antibiotic as well.
What is it in garlic that if you put it next to the skin that it'll burn it?
Sulfur.
It is sulfur. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's the active ingredient in the DMSO is the sulfur.
Yes, it is. It is that, and there's something else to it too. I can't think of right off about what it is.
Okay.
But it does, and again, because of the nature of it being a solvent, it really penetrates. We need sulfur to break down a lot of things in our system and to remove a lot. Let's say you got a blood clot or a bad bruise on your legs or on your arm, and you rub a little bit of that, probably within a couple hours, that stuff will have cleared up. But if you do that, make sure you're taking an adequate amount of vitamin C with it so that the vitamin C will take the copper and iron and help it reabsorb it back into the bloodstream.
What do you think about the colloidal silvers and things of that sort?
Okay, I do use colloidal silver. I don't believe in using it as a main thrust. I think that's a little bit crazy to me. I don't want to be taking something that's going to disrupt my probiotic levels. And even at a 10 parts per million, that will eventually do this. I'm a bigger fan of iodine, using that over the colloidal. Now, again, this is my observations. This is my personal experience. With it, I have used colloidal silver to knock out an infection. I've used 100 parts per million and higher to knock out stuff. I've combined it with vinegar, and it works really well. But I wouldn't use it as my main to take it every day. I wouldn't do it. I don't encourage people to do it. Metals like that, you got to be careful because they do accumulate. Iodine, on the other hand, is part of your matrix. And it does, like I said, kill over 40 different pathogens, whether they be viral, bacterial, fungal, even parasitical. So I would rather take something that's going to work along with my system. And somebody will argue, well, what about, you know, getting too much and the thyroid getting this and that? If you're taking too much, you back off, you know. But again, all the studies I've seen, unless you've already got an adequate amount of iodine in your bloodstream, which most people don't, I don't think there's a big problem with it. I will use colloidal silver, but I mean, after I've exhausted GSE, after I've exhausted propolis, after I've exhausted balm of Gilead, after I've exhausted iodine, if nothing else works, then I'll go to the silver.
What's GSE?
Grapefruit seed extract.
Okay.
That's supposed to be 2 times stronger than the silver, but I've seen where GSE doesn't work. And I've seen where colloidal silver does. And then I've also seen the opposite, where colloidal silver doesn't do it, GSE does. So it all depends, you know. Those four things I carry with me when I travel.
So what about, do you have anything that kind of works on MRSA?
On MRSA?
Mm-hmm.
Essential oils. Tea tree oil, geranium, and lemongrass. All you have to do is breathe it.
Hmm.
That was... Tea tree oil, geranium, and what?
Lemongrass.
And essential oils. And
essential
all you do
oils.
Is inhale it.
All you do is inhale it. Where you get MRSA is through the nose.
Hmm.
You breathe it in. And the only way you're going to get it is in the hospital. Welcome to the medical. Yes, we have socialized medicine here. Come on in. Get sick and get drugged.
Let's go back and before we end this evening. I want to visit the Lyme's disease a little bit more.
Okay.
And how, is it just out there in our environment everywhere and that the ticks are picking it up or what?
They tie it to the ticks, and I would almost think it probably is from that. Look, we're getting a lot of food from all over the world, and we no longer are inspecting the food. There's no way the FDA can inspect the food, and there's no way the FTC can inspect the food. And this was what they should be doing instead of going after the health food industry. The health food industry is a lot easier target to go after. It's here. It's in the border. You can regulate it a lot easier because they're already here. Mind you, the health food industry as a whole takes care of itself and regulates itself, so there's not a whole lot they have to do. You know, if they make the odd claim here and there, they want to make a big deal about, oh, you can't make that label claim. But what they should be doing and doing their job is to protect North America, in Canada as well, we have the same problem in the Health Protection Branch. As far as checking the foods, what's coming in, where is it coming in, and inspecting it. I saw a video about the fish in that they were getting from Vietnam, how they're grown, raised in sewers. They're sending them over here, and then when they examine the fish, there's over like 14 different types of parasites in these fish, which they're selling on the market here. So, you know, we've got, this is the job of the FDA, which they are not even addressing.
Well, you know, one thing that struck me the other day when I was looking at some vegetables, and I had seen some carrots, and almost all of them were distorted in some fashion. No, they weren't white. They were the right color and everything, but they were short and they were stubby and they were misshapen, and it just made me wonder if there was something in the soil that I wouldn't want to be eating in my carrot.
Well, either that or maybe they genetically modified the carrot. But they're bringing it from another country, and a tick or a bug comes in through the food supply in another country from another country and gets into the U.S. or Canada. Now it's got a breeding ground to grow in. Okay, let's say a tick in that particular part of the world has something that feeds on it. Let's say a specific spider, a bee, or wasp, or whatever. Now we've taken it out of that environment, and it's over here now. Now it has a chance to proliferate and grow. And there's nothing here to stop it. Okay, and so, again, and it wouldn't take much for you to get bit by a tick. You could be in your backyard doing some gardening. A squirrel could run by, tick jumps off the squirrel, lands in the area you are in, jumps on you, you're bit, you don't know it. You don't really feel it because it's at nighttime, and then when you do feel it, it feels like a mosquito prick, but a little bit stronger, and you're scratching like hell. Next thing you know, it's inside. And again, this is the problem we're having. This is what we can thank free trade. We're getting our food from Mexico. Why? Because it's cheaper. We're getting it from South Africa. Why? Because it's cheaper. We're getting it from Argentina. Why? Because it's cheaper. Now we're no longer growing our food, and then our farmers are wondering why they can't make any money. And then what's happening is we're bringing this stuff in from these countries. We're eating these foods that may have a larvae in the skin or whatever. You touch it, you absorb it, whatever, and then you've got something. This is why, like I said, we can't escape it, but we can maybe neutralize it.
One other thing before we end the evening here is, what do you think of all these? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of information coming out on superfoods. What is it your take on some of those?
Save your money! The only superfood you should be eating is the one that nourishes your system. Now, superfoods are based on some sort of deal where they got either a high ORAC value or a high antioxidant value or a high profile on it. Okay, like the acai beer. Let's go with acai. Super acai. It can, you know, boil water. It's got blue underwear, leaps tall buildings, got a red S on its chest. You take it, you're going to have the same thing. A lot of nothing. Okay? Cherries in the United States and Canada has almost the same antioxidant punch as the acai berry, and a hell of a lot cheaper. I've got real acai berry from Brazil. A friend of mine that's Brazilian brought me some in there. When you peel off the berry, it's paper thin. Okay? And basically, this is being done down in that neck of the woods where these people are poor and impoverished, and again, it's cheap labor, and this is what it's really all about. I went to some of these rah-rah meetings with these MLMs that are promoting this whole acai thing. And when you buy their product, it's got 15 different fruit juices in it in a wine bottle, and you're spending $44 for this. If I'm going to spend $44 for glorified fruit, I'm going to go buy wine. Okay?
Here.
Wine has resveratrol, it has polyphenols, it has antioxidants, it has all 13 minerals that you need to live. It has, you know, anti-estrogen properties. Why would I want to spend $40 for a glorified juice when wine will do me more? You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, again, a lot of these superfoods, in all honesty, and then when you're reading the back of these labels on some of these super greens, all right, a lot of that is just glorified fiber. $35 for fiber is what you're spending it on. Unless it says it's a juice extract and giving you specific measurements. Not saying it's got 5,000 milligrams and it's got 20 things listed under the 5,000 milligrams. You don't know what you're getting. All you know is you got a proprietary brand proprietary blend that's equivalent to 5 grams. How much you're getting in each one, you don't know. So basically, it's another one of these snow jobs that's trying to sell you on the idea, oh, you're getting all this, ooh, but you're really getting fiber, nothing more. There was one company down in Arizona I saw. I was reading this product. This guy was supposed to have been a doctor. He was as much as a doctor as I'm wearing Velcro kind of thing. You know, a guy was no doctor. He had a degree in sound and noise. Anyway, he was selling a product, and I looked at his product. They all had soy in them. I looked at them. They were nothing but just glorified leftover byproducts of other products, and he was selling for like $35 a bottle. People used to ask me, well, what do you think of this? I said, well, you make your mind on that one, but I would use this one instead. Because this is a juice extract. I don't see juice extract marked anywhere on this property, on this thing. And this particular product is giving you a breakdown of all the things in there per milligram. Okay? So they're at least they're trying to be ethical with you and telling you that this is how much you're getting of spirulina, this is how much you're getting of wheatgrass, barley grass, so forth and so on. So, again, and if it's telling me it's a juice extract, then at least I know it's not a glorified fiber that I'm spending buku dollars for nothing.
Well, I guess I've gotten to that time and about bring it to a close. And, Tony, again, you've been a wealth of information. And I appreciate you coming on the program and sharing that information with our audience.
Listen, I appreciate you having me on here. Caused a little bit more controversy, as per usual.
Well, make them question. It's important.
Oh, listen, you've got to today. If you're going to spend any money on supplements, do your research on it. Don't just look at the research that's being pumped up by the health food industry. That's health food science to sell you a product. And they got to make money, and we got to understand that too. But if you're going to buy a product, make sure that A, the measurements are right. If you're looking at enzymes, you're not looking at milligram strength. You're looking at the actual enzyme property. If you're looking at a product that's got about 29 different things in there, and they're only giving you proprietary listings and numbers, again, stay away from it. It's a waste of money, or it's got a hidden agenda. If you're looking at supplements, they better have the exact milligram strength of whatever you're using, if it's amino acid, vitamin, mineral, or whatever. So these are some simple guidelines to help you out. Read. You know, use that gray matter. Read.
And your show, you're on the Micro Effect, and that's on Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern. The show is called The Remedy. And you can call in if you want. You can chat your question. I usually have my Skype on. I have my Yahoo Messenger on. So if you don't want to go in the chat room, you have a question, or if you hear something that's saying, hey, what about this or whatever, if I see it, I'll answer it. I do try my best to answer them. Sometimes I get bombed with questions or phone calls, whatever, depending on what it is. But don't be shy. Ask.
And then you can find you on YouTube.
Yeah, www.youtube.com. Then type in the search, Herbs Plus Beadworks, one word, HERBSPLUSWORKS, one word, Herbs Plus Beadworks. 73 videos. Download them if you like. Download anything on the webpage I have. We've got a webpage as well, augmentinforce.50webs.com. Make sure you type in HTTP first, HTTP://augmentinforce. If you go on my YouTube, there's an Augment Enforce link there. Click on it. Anything you see on that web page you want to download, do so. By all means, I encourage you to download whatever you see fit. Want to download the whole shooting match? By all means, do so.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. It's just been very enlightening.
Okay. And
I hope so.
and again, we'll have to do it again. So
listen, anytime. If you get in your audience, people who have questions on health or whatever, if you want to forward my email, you can. If you want to hold those questions until maybe the next time you have me on, if you have me on again, we'll deal with them.
Okay.
What is your email?
My email is independs@yahoo.com. INDEPENDZ@yahoo.com.
Again, I want to thank you, and both of you, and I'll say make it an evening here, because this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, before we get too far into the evening here. So, again, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.